When a person is baptized, as the Bible teaches, his sins are forgiven. Acts 22:16 says that his sins are washed away. He is born again. But what about after his sins are forgiven at baptism? What about the life that he is to live as a Christian? Does God require that he never sin again in order to be saved? Does God tell Christians that once they're baptized, that they can never sin again if they're going to heaven? Well, of course not. The Bible teaches us that Christians do fall short of the glory of God. So God doesn't require that a Christian live a sinless life. Well, after a man is baptized, then how are his sins forgiven as he lives the Christian life? Is he supposed to be baptized every time that he sins? Well, no. He's baptized to get into Christ, and baptism washes away his past sins and puts him into Jesus Christ. But he doesn't have to just keep on being baptized. Well, is he saved no matter what he does? Whether he lives a good life or a bad life? Whether he is obedient to God or whether he just lives a wicked, sinful life? Is he saved regardless? Well, the answer is no. And in this set of lessons, we're going to talk about staying saved. We're going to look at what the Bible says about keeping ourselves saved as Christians and about the danger that we must avoid, the danger of falling. There is forgiveness for Christian people. There is forgiveness of sins after the washing away of sins at baptism. And we're going to look at a passage right now in 1 John chapter 1 that talks about this. 1 John chapter 1, and after we look at 1 John chapter 1, we're going to turn back to the book just before it, the book of 2 Peter. So all of our verses in this lesson are going to come from generally the same area in your New Testament. Let's look at 1 John chapter 1, verse 7. Now, John is talking, obviously, here to Christian people. And he said, "But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin." Cleanses who from all sin? Christian people. Christian people that he says walk in the light. Well, what is the light? Well, that is the light of God's Word. That is living in obedience to the will of God. Now, that doesn't mean that a person is perfect. It doesn't mean that a person never makes a mistake. It doesn't mean that a person is sinless. But it does mean that the overall picture of that person's life is one of obedience. The general direction of his life is that he is faithful to God. Not perfect every time, not perfect in every respect, but it does mean that his will is following the will of God, and his life shows that. So in 1 John chapter 1, verse 7, the Bible says that as long as a child of God is walking in the light, he's not walking in darkness, he's not living in darkness, he is walking in the light, as we say, as best he can. The Bible tells us that the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses him, cleanses us from all sin. Now, as a part of that, we have to, as children of God, admit that we have sinned. We can't just go around saying, "Well, I don't sin as a Christian. I don't make mistakes. I don't fall short in that way." We have to be willing to confess. We have to admit that we have sinned. And the Bible tells us in 1 John chapter 1, verse 8, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Again, he's talking to Christian people here. So we have to be willing to acknowledge. We have to be honest about that. And the Bible tells us in verse 9, if we confess our sins, he, that is God, is faithful and just to forgive us our sins, and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And again, he makes the point in verse 10, if we say that we have not sinned, We make him a liar, and his word is not in us. But I want you to notice especially what he says in verse 9. The Bible shows that there is forgiveness of sins to Christian people. And what do they have to do? Well, the Bible says that their general walk of life, the overall view of their life is, in the sight of God, that they're walking in the light of God's word, and that they're willing to confess their sins. And of course, they may not even be aware that they have sinned at times. They may not even remember. But there needs to be, and there must be, this acknowledgement of sin. And the Bible tells us here that as long as that attitude is present, and as long as that walk of life is there, then there is forgiveness. Notice in 1 John chapter 2, verse 1, that John says, "My little children, these things write I unto you, that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous." So this is very encouraging, and I believe it's also very comforting to Christian people who have done what they should do in order to become Christians. They realize what the Bible says about the plan of salvation, and so they've obeyed those terms. They're in Christ, but they have questions, and sometimes maybe even need reassurance about their salvation as Christians. Well, the Bible gives that reassurance here to Christian people who walk in the light. And I want you to notice one more thing in 1 John chapter 1, verse 7, before we leave this passage and go to 2 Peter. I want you to notice in 1 John chapter 1, verse 7, that the Bible says, "If we walk in the light, then the blood of Jesus will cleanse us from all sin." Well, what does that mean, as we would say, on the flip side? Well, that would mean that if we don't walk in the light, if we walk in darkness, then we will not have our sins forgiven, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, will not cleanse us from all sins. Now, he says this in a slightly different way in chapter 2. Notice in chapter 2, in this same setting, in 1 John chapter 2, verse 4, "He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him." So we have to walk in the light of God's word or God's commandments. So this set of lessons is about staying saved, and the New Testament does tell us how to stay saved. Let's go now to the book of 2 Peter, just a few pages back to chapter 1 in your New Testament. 2 Peter chapter 1, and we're going to begin in verse 5. Peter here, again, is talking to Christian people. Now, these people have already been baptized for the forgiveness of their sins. They're in Christ. And he is telling them how to remain in that saved condition in the sight of God. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5. "And beside this, giving all diligence," this means to give it all of the effort that you possibly can. "Give it your whole heart. Add to your faith virtue." Now, why would Peter be telling these people to add to their faith if faith was the only thing that they needed? If faith alone was all that was necessary for these Christian people, then why is Peter writing all of these words and telling these people to add to their faith? Well, of course, if faith alone was all that you needed, he wouldn't even need to write this letter. But the very fact that he does shows that they needed more than just faith, and we today need the same. Add to your faith virtue. Virtue is moral courage. It is moral conviction. It is moral goodness. And we need that in this generation in which we live, just like these people did in New Testament times. Not only that, he says to add to your virtue knowledge. Knowledge of God. Knowledge of the will of God, the Word of God. And that comes through the study of God's Word, the Bible. He goes on in verse 6 and says, to add to your knowledge, temperance. Temperance is self-control. And that means to control yourself, to control your life. Control your passions. Control your desires. Control your wants when temptation arises. Control your temper. Control your tongue. control your spending and all of your life, because God has given us a will, and we should be the master rather than the slave in our lives. Add to your temperance, then he says, patience. Patience is endurance. Patience is perseverance. Patience is confronting the challenges of life and going through the trials of life and still remaining faithful and true to God. Add to your patience, then he says, godliness. Being a spiritual person. Being a truly religious person in God's sight. And add to godliness, he says, brotherly kindness. And the brotherly kindness here is especially the brotherly kindness that you show to brothers in Christ and, of course, to sisters in Christ. There's a certain kindness that ought to be there in the family of God. And then he says, last of all, add to brotherly kindness charity, and that is love. Love God with all of your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. These are the first, the greatest two commandments, Mark 12, 29 through 31. Now, Peter goes on to say some things to these Christian people about these graces or virtues that he's talked about. In verse 8, he said, "For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ." As long as you have these things in your heart, your life is going to be productive. In verse 9, he says, on the other hand, "But he that lacketh these things is blind spiritually." He cannot see afar off. He's not looking ahead in his life. And he's not looking back at the past. He's forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. He doesn't appreciate that anymore. And he is not being faithful to God. In verse 10, he says, "Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall." Now notice what he says. He has told these people to add to your faith virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness, and love. And then he says in verse 10 to give diligence. Be earnest about this. To make your calling and your election, that is your final salvation, sure. Well, if there never is and never can be any question about a person's salvation once he is saved, then why would Peter even bring this up? If the idea of once saved, always saved is true, then why is Peter talking like this? Why is Peter telling them how to be sure about their salvation if there never can be a question about it to begin with? It wouldn't fit, would it? That doctrine just does not fit with the way that the Bible talks about this matter. And not only that, he said, "For if you do these things," the things that we've just talked about, "you shall never fall." Well, what if you don't do these things? The flip side of that coin again is that if you don't do these things, then you're going to fall. Well, if a person can never fall from grace, if it is impossible for a child of God to fall from grace, then there is absolutely no reason why Peter should have ever written these words. But the very fact that he does, the very fact that Peter tells us how to stay saved and how to make sure that we're saved, and how to keep from falling, shows that it is a possibility and shows that there is that danger. Going to heaven is not some one-time change that we make and then forget about it later and not give any effort to it. It is about giving our heart and our life to God Almighty so that we can, as Peter said, make our calling and our election sure.